This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on your official home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get it going. Happy Monday on a Calgary Flames game day. Sportsnet Today is underway. It's Logan Gordon along with you. Coming at you from our Doug Lacey's Basement System studio in downtown Calgary. Flames ending off a quick two-game home stand tonight against the LA Kings. Some major lineup changes for the Calgary Flames heading into tonight's game. We'll chat with our Flames insider, Peter Labardius, in just moments to get you set for tonight's matchup against their Pacific Division rivals, the LA Kings. Quick reminder, the fan feedback line always open to you here on Sportsnet Today at 960-960. Thoughts, questions, anything that comes up during the show today, make sure to text it in 960-960. We'll chat hockey right off the top here with Lou in just seconds. And then in the second segment, the official end of the Bo Levi Mitchell era in Calgary. One of the greatest Stampeder quarterbacks of all time has been traded to the Hamilton Tiger Cats this afternoon. We'll bring on former Stampeder John Bender to chat about the move for Hamilton, the move for Calgary, and what is now looking to be a pretty busy offseason when it comes to quarterbacks in the CFL. And we haven't even finished up the Grey Cup yet. It's set to go this weekend when the Argonauts meet the Blue Bombers in Saskatchewan. Let's go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Welcome in our Flames insider. It is Peter Labardius. He's brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group now offering air miles, reward miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. Happy Monday, Lou. How are you, pal?
I am good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks. Big win for the Flames over the weekend to get that streak stopped against Winnipeg, eh?
Well, necessary, and a lengthy one, to be sure. Probably the number one takeaway outside of the win for me, Logan, was how they handled the lead in the third period. And we've talked endlessly about some game management and, you know, a bad stretch or a bad stretch here and there in games, and a few of them have come in the third period, taking some pretty good nights and turning them either into an overtime loss or a lost period. So they only gave the Jets four shots on goal in the third, were completely in control. They got some, you know, great individual performances. Their goalie was very dialed in from the get-go. I think it was arguably as strong a performance as Jacob has had from start to finish all season long. Lindholm had maybe his best game of the year, a multi-point outing with a goal and an assist. Adam Ruzicka certainly got his name on the score sheet with a goal and an assist. Lots to like, and maybe nothing more for me than two other things: the return of Chris Tanev, which also coincided with some terrific penalty killing, which in many ways won them the hockey game.
Yeah, it's funny, and I know that there are other injuries and players away from this team, Lou, but I mean, you see it on a different level with this group when you take Chris Tanev out of the lineup. What he does at 5-on-5, you mentioned the penalty kill, that they just look like a calmer group when number 8 is part of the rotation. And I think it's something
Ryan Huska put it best when he was asked, you know, in our post game show, and he just said in every situation, he just makes everyone else more comfortable. And, you know, he's Linus. He's like the team's blanket. Good security blanket and a whale of a player, and, you know, good to see him come back. Played 17 and a half. I still see some indications, Logan, that he is not functioning at 100%. But, yes, his presence, his play, and, you know, they got a great game, too. I should mention that, you know, I thought the Anderson-Hanifin pairing was terrific the other night. But just He makes people better.
And one guy I did want to mention, because you and me have talked about him on the air and off the air, I'm such a fan of Trevor Lewis, and to see him get that shorthanded goal, the game winner, in period number two there, this guy just, I know Daryl was talking about him today with the LA media, because he spent a lot of time of his career there with Daryl, obviously, but man, I can't appreciate what Trevor Lewis does for this team enough. It was so good to see him get that goal on Saturday night, Lou.
Well, it was great to see him get that goal, and he has really played well. And I would describe it this way, and I even phrased it to Daryl in our conversation today that you'll be able to hear as you do on home games, hear from Daryl every single home game that is played by the Calgary Flames in our coach's interview. And that is, with Trevor, he played 18 and a half minutes the other night. We can talk all we want about his professionalism. You know, he's just so trustworthy, reliable, smart, still skates very, very well, which, you know, really in many ways allows him with his savvy and smarts and his ability to still play at a very high pace. He looked to me in that game, the best way I can describe it, Logan, is this: a veteran guy who understood the magnitude of that night and getting that streak snapped. And he played to me like somebody who just was going to do everything in his power to make sure they didn't lose a hockey game.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And one of those key veterans for the Flames as they come out with that 3-2 win on Saturday night to down the Jets and to end their 7-game losing streak. They'll look to put a little mini win streak together tonight, Lou, and they welcome in the LA Kings at the Scotiabank Saddledome. And it'll be a bit of a different looking lineup for the Calgary Flames tonight against LA, as we'll see two changes, one up front and one on the back end. And we'll start with the one up front. And it's good news for the Calgary Flames as Jonathan Huberdeau is back in the lineup after missing the last three games, dealing with a couple of different ailments, an upper body one and a lower body injury. So Huberdeau back and ready to go tonight. He'll skate on a different line, however, tonight. And that was where he was. That's what Daryl Sutter was asked about after the morning skate today, about where Jonathan is in the lineup and what the head coach is looking for out of number 10.
Because we've slotted him everywhere else, it hasn't worked.
What might those two guys bring out in him that you're hoping for?
I think they're similar type players. Not bringing anything out of him. He's a good player. He's got to get going. Right? Enough talk about it.
And of course, those other two players, Lou, Backlund and Lewis, who we just talked about. So Jonathan Huberdeau on the left side of Backlund and Lewis. What intrigues you about that potential trio for the Flames tonight?
I don't look at it any more than this. Michael Backlund's a really good player. Trevor Lewis, we just talked about Trevor Lewis and what he brings. Jonathan Huberdeau is also a very, very good player. And what I think is going to help Jonathan, albeit nobody wants to, you know, be banged up and be in a walking boot for a few days, I'm not so sure that what will have not done him the best in terms of going forward is a bit of a mental break. Just to get a chance to breathe, to watch his team as opposed to be in the thick of it. Because even again today, there is a lot asked of him. And, you know, the coach of this team has made no bones about the fact that certainly 5-on-5, he wants more. I also think, though, part of the moves that Daryl has made is for a team that, you know, has not scored easy this year, you are also looking for balance. And when I look at those lines, there might be a couple of things right off the hop that you would consider is interesting. The most important one, Logan, is obviously where Huberdeau, if you will, slots, if you're somebody who likes the number lines, and I think I might be the only guy in the country who is not a big fan of that. But with that, I see more balance. And, you know, Jonathan, again, has been challenged, and I'm not worried about him. I'm really not worried about him, but I do understand that he and a lot of other players have to raise the level of their play, because I know it's November the 14th, but, and I know they haven't played as many games as teams in their division, but they're already getting in a chase the season type mode. So let me ask you the same question you asked me. What did you think when you saw the combinations come out?
You know what? I like it. I'm not worried about it at all. I think given how well Adam Ruzicka played on Saturday, I didn't feel any need to throw Jonathan back into that top line spot. And I think you can only benefit, as the coach said, from playing with two guys that play the game the right way in Backlund and Lewis. When I think of putting guys in a position to succeed, Lou, and a guy that's, you know, still trying to find his way here in Calgary, especially with the defensive zone, what's asked of him away from the puck, which is a big part of this transition for Jonathan. Honestly, I can't think of two better guys than Backlund and Lewis. And I know it's been a rocky start and people are questioning it and want to bring it to the forefront. I'm really with you. I know people want us to be banging on windows and screaming to the high heavens about Huberto not being a 100-point pace guy yet, but I'm sorry. I still think he's going to get there. It's too early for me to put any panic into this, and I think this is just as good a spot as any for him to come back into the lineup tonight.
Well, it's twofold for me, Logan, and that is I'm biased, and I have no trouble admitting it. I really like this player, and I have a lot of faith in this player, and I know it hasn't started incredibly well, but I believe in the person. I believe in his character. I believe in his ability. I think you're going to see right off the bat tonight, he's going to make a difference to their number one power play unit, which I think they have desperately missed him in that area since he's been away. And I am hoping more than anything, because there's a lot of pressure and the pressure is not going away either. So, you know, and I think the best I can put it to you is he's being tested right now. And they've spent a lot of money and they've made a big investment. And, you know, the analogy I use, I'm not saying it works for everyone because it's difficult. And I think it's even more difficult on players of today than it might have been even 10, 15 years ago. I think coaches, by and large, are harder on people that they see the most of or the potential from. And, you know, it's part of the process. And different coaches handle it different ways. You know, I don't think it's a secret that, you know, Daryl demands a lot. He wants a lot. And that's how he's always gone about his business. And I think what's really important, and the one thing I didn't mention about Trevor Lewis, and it was, you know, the LA group of reporters was gathered around Trevor. And he's a guy that, frankly, I haven't spent any time with. COVID, everything that's gone on. But, you know, I overheard part of that conversation. And Trevor realizes better than anybody. And I think one really important thing about Trevor is when you've played for Daryl for a long time, you understand it. And I think having those types of people in that room can be very beneficial for those who are just trying to understand the methods and how he goes about his business.
With Peter Labardius, our Flames insider here on Sportsnet today. He joins us every single day to kick off the program here, and it's a Flames game day. The classic 6:30 start at the Dome, Lou. I don't know the last time We've seen 6 o'clock
sports
starts.
Television, Sportsnet television. Listen. I know at our station we laugh about it, right? Sometimes, because you know TV always dictates. Yeah, you know why TV dictates?
Yeah, lots of eyeballs there.
Yeah, a lot of eyeballs there. So not to suggest that what we do isn't very, very important, but I, you know, being somebody who's worked a lot of his career in television and, you know, even in days when whether I was doing the Flames play-by-play-wise on TV or other stuff, you know, Monday is a big national night for them. And if I'm not mistaken, tonight's their national game. So I know what they're doing. They're trying to make it as time zone friendly as they can for everyone across the country to watch.
So that means that Lou will be on Flames warm-up with Pat at 5:30. Him and Derek will call the game right here on Sportsnet 960 and on Sportsnet West just after 6:30. Just a little early reminder if you guys are heading to the game tonight, you're listening, you want to know, you got to get there for 7 a little earlier tonight. 6:30 puck drop from the Dome. We mentioned Huberto coming back in, Lou. Means a couple other changes in the lineup. Kevin Rooney will sit tonight. He's had a couple of games now where his usage has been lowered as the game has gone on by the head coach. And also Connor Mackey will come out of the lineup tonight. We're expecting Nick DeSimone to be on a pairing with Nikita Zadorov. Just a quick thought on those two moves for the Flames as well today.
Well, I think that the bigger point, as opposed to just the exchange of people there, Logan, is where you're going to find Dylan Dubé tonight.
Yes, back up the middle for Dylan.
It looks like Dylan is going to move back into the center position. His minutes were under 10 the other night, and you know he's in a bit of a funk, certainly production-wise. And I'm going to talk about something that I heard today from the other coach that's fascinating and somewhat applies to this scenario. And sometimes I think the challenges for coaches and players and young players. But, you know, Dylan's played there a lot, takes a little responsibility in a sense in one way off his plate, but we know he can play there. He can play all three positions. You know, he's going to give you some jump, a little physicality. I also think in watching Dylan for a long time now, when you play center ice, albeit it's far more difficult a position to play, I think you get engaged in the game in a different way because you have no choice. I think your opportunity to get the puck, feel the puck, and potentially have it is in the systems that are played. That is different, and that changes. And I'm not saying that I think it's going to be a permanent situation for him, but I can certainly understand why, you know, Darryl's going down this road with him. And as for on defense, you know, Nick DeSimone is an interesting guy. And I still don't know him all that well, I must admit. But in the games that he's played, now the hard part, the negative side, is he's -4. And he has, frankly, made some errors that have been costly. But you know what I like about him, Logan? I think he sees the game pretty well, and I think he can make plays. So if he can take the good stuff and, you know, I think in two of his three games, one play kind of wrecked his night, where we might be talking about it differently. But I'm interested. It's not the end of the world by any stretch because, you know, I think his minutes tonight are definitely going to be potentially considerably less than any of the other five guys. But I see a little something there in terms of his ability to skate it and read it and make some plays.
So it's the Flames side of things heading into tonight. Their opponent, the LA Kings, our first chance to look at Todd McClellan's group, the Pacific Division rival to the Calgary Flames, Lou. They stunned a couple of people last year, taking the Edmonton Oilers to 7 games in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And still a team that's trying to find their way with some young players and trying to, you know, graduate some guys from being top prospects into full-time NHLers. But one guy has taken that jump, and that's a guy out of the 2017 NHL entry draft, the former Windsor Spitfire and Kingston Frontenac. Gabe Vilardi has really shone out for LA. He's got 10 goals and 5 assists through 17 games this season. I'm sure the Kings would love to see more of their prospects take a step like Vilardi has early on in this season, Lou.
You know what it's a reminder of? It takes time.
Patience.
And patience. And, you know, whether it's with Quentin Byfield, who, you know, was a second overall pick, Alex Turcotte, who was a fourth overall pick. You know, as Todd and I had a great visit. I've known Todd since, you know, I grew up watching him. He's been coaching for a long time. You know, I remember dealing with him when he was the head coach of the then North Battleford North Stars of the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. So, you know, and I've always had a great, great admiration, respect, and a real good relationship with him. And, you know, we talked about, you know, some of their guys and young players, and for sure, Vilardi, you know, I remember watching Vilardi in the 2017 Memorial Cup, and, you know, he had 7 assists in that tournament. You know, he was dominant. He made plays. He was around it. And, you know, he's a good player. But, you know, he's been nicked up and went through some real tough injury stretches. But at the end of the day, it takes young players. And we were just talking about Dylan Dubé. And I've never heard this phrase before today, and I love it. And I will always credit people with great thoughts and lines. So Todd said that, you know, for coaches and managers in the league, one of the lines, you know, in their organization with young players is stats to stay. Where for him, what it's really about is play to stay. Now, I don't know if people would understand that concept, but that concept I love is it's hard not the way they're brought up, the way, you know, people are paid, the way everything is looked at, which is a very numbers-oriented way of analyzing and evaluating. And I just thought the analogy was brilliant. And as Todd said, you know, until young players, with the exception, as he pointed out, it is almost like, Logan, we look at every first rounder or every highly touted young guy who comes into the NHL and we expect them, you know, to be Matthews or Marner or McDavid or Dreisaitl. Well, guess what? They're not. And that's why Daryl Sutter talks all the time about the value of, you know, playing in the American Hockey League and becoming a pro and understanding who and what you are as a player and playing the game the right way. Because when you play the game the right way, and that is your focus, the other stuff takes care of itself. So I thought that was a fascinating analogy. You know, players in a lot of ways are groomed, you know, stats to stay, but if you're a coach, it's way more about play in order to stay. And the other interesting thing he said, Logan, before
mm-hmm.
I go,
yeah,
is I was asking him today about the topsy-turvy, you know, state of the league this year. You look around the league, including Calgary, you know, there's been a lot of ups and downs. There's been, you know, good stretches followed by tough stretches. So I said to Todd today, I said, do you have a thought or a theory on that? And what he brought up, and I've never heard this before either, is he said in the modern day NHL, the game has changed so much that each and every line that you face now is constructed, whether it's your six on defense or your four forward lines, you know, with players who probably have an ability to score. He said, take my team, for example. You know, Blake Lizotte already has four goals this year, who's, you know, a fourth line center. As Todd pointed out today, he said, you know, in years gone by, four goals for a fourth line grinder and plugger probably be a great season for some in the past. But then the rest of that story is this. He thinks because of that, the game for goalies now has never been more difficult because their need to be dialed in every minute, every shift, he thinks has changed because of the skill, the way the game is played, and the construction of the teams. So I wanted to share those two things because I have just such respect, and B, I thought they were kind of fascinating, at least to me. You know, I'm lucky. I've been going to hockey school my whole life, and today I got another class from a really good guy.
He's one of the best, Lou. So are you. Appreciate the time, as always, sir. We'll see you down at the Dome in a couple hours, hey?
Sounds good.
Take it easy. Peter Lombardi, it's our Flames insider. Joins us every single day to kick off the program. He's brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit thegeminigroup.ca. It's official. The Bo Levi Mitchell era in Calgary is over. The quarterback's been traded to the Hamilton Tiger Cats. We'll break down what that means for the Stamps, what that means for the Ticats going forward. John Bender, former Calgary Stampeders offensive lineman, joins the program next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
When the Calgary Stampeders season ended in the West semifinal against the BC Lions, a lot of people had already come to the realization that Bo Levi Mitchell had likely played his last game as a member of the Stampeders. And today, it appears that's been made official. Welcome back to Sportsnet Today here on Sportsnet 960. The Fans, Logan Gordon, along with you. Yes, Bo Levi Mitchell has been traded to the Hamilton Tiger Cats. His rights, of course, as he is a pending unrestricted free agent in the CFL's free agency landscape. So the Ticats will need to re-sign Mitchell if he wants to play there next year. But as a few people have pointed out on Twitter, that's generally, by this point, already an understanding between the two. We'll see if that's the case between these two. But it appears that, yes, the Bo Levi Mitchell era is over in Calgary. And to chat about that and some other things as Grey Cup week gets underway today, we go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Welcome in former Calgary Stampeders offensive lineman John Bender on the program this afternoon. What's up, John? How are you, pal?
Hey, I'm doing great, thanks. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. How surprised were you to see that news today? A big bang to start off Grey Cup week. I think we knew it was coming, John, but to happen that fast was a bit surprising for a lot of people.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I thought this would be something that would happen kind of after the Grey Cup, but I knew that the Calgary Stampeders would want to trade him to a team in the East to have the, you know, hopefully Bo ends up out in the East for them. They don't want to see him either on Edmonton or Saskatchewan or one of the teams in the West where they have to play him consistently. And, you know, if they can get something back for him in a trade, some draft picks, that's a great deal for the Calgary Stampeders. And I think it's a good fit for all parties.
For those wondering, the Stampeders receive a third-round draft pick for Bo Levi Mitchell. If he does sign with the Ticats, the teams will swap first-round picks. Stamps currently picking sixth, Ticats picking fourth, and the Stamps would also receive additional future considerations. I think, John, the biggest conversation about Bo when this all started to feel real and where might he go in the offseason, everyone was talking about Saskatchewan and everything going on with Cody Fajardo and all the problems that they had this year. that's where a lot of people connected the dots. For me, that never made sense because mainly of the offensive line issues that Sask went through this season. I think that's a massive hole for Saskatchewan, and I think for Bo, he hasn't signed there yet, but I think Hamilton, to me, looks like a much better landing spot than Saskatchewan ever did. Are you on the same wavelength with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Bo Levi Mitchell's been a great quarterback in this league, and I know a lot of people, probably in the Calgary market especially, think that maybe he's played his best days, but you know, quick reminder for everyone that everybody wrote off Zach Collaros too, and everybody wrote off Ricky Ray about a decade ago, and those guys still had lots of legs left right into their 30s. So, I mean, I hope Bo Levi Mitchell has a similar opportunity where he can go and play at a high level. But this is the thing with, you know, quarterbacks. Bo, when he was young, wasn't a super mobile quarterback, wasn't great at getting out of the pocket and moving around. And now that he's, you know, getting longer in the tooth, so to speak, into his 30s, he wants to go to a team that can compete now. You know, Sask, you know, 70 sacks, I think they gave up this year. Cody Fajardo was running for his life most of the time. It wouldn't be a great fit. I agree with that. And, you know, the Hamilton Tiger Cats, you know, they had lots of good things there down the stretch. They looked like a team that might be able to just, find a team that went hot, you know, for the last 5-6 games of regular season, go in the playoffs. But, you know, in the playoffs, when you go from one quarterback to the next, you have a 1A and a 1B. It's kind of like the old adage in hockey. If you have a 1A, 1B, you really don't have a number one, right? So if you have two quarterbacks you think can play, you really want to find one that's going to play and, take over. And I think that they might have that here with Bo.
What do you think of the fit immediately? Do you see Hamilton being a good spot for him? I know they don't have maybe some of the offensive weapons they had the last couple years when they were battling Winnipeg in back-to-back Grey Cups, but I still look at Orlando Steinauer's group as a pretty good team out in the East, and a team that if they can get the quarterback situation figured out, John, could be a contender as soon as next year.
Yeah, I mean, they were a team that made the playoffs this season. I don't think the East is as strong top to bottom as the West is. I mean, the West has the juggernaut with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, potentially another juggernaut there with the BC Lions, see how it happens with them next season. The Calgary Stampeders are always very competitive as well. In the East, you don't have as much competition. I think it would be a great landing spot for him, and I think that the Ticats, you know, they're a well-coached team. They're often great on defense and special teams, and it often seemed like they just couldn't get things rolling on offense to the extent that they wanted to, and finding a new quarterback seemed to be a big point for them that they wanted to do in the offseason, and they got that done pretty quickly here, and I'd imagine that they're going to, you know, sounds like they're going to announce some sort of signing here in the next few days, and we'll see what happens there.
This, to me, now creates one of the more interesting off-seasons, John, in terms of quarterback movement across the CFL. And I know we're not done yet. We'll talk about the Grey Cup in a couple moments here. But I look at this, and I've seen Dave Naylor floated out there already that, hey, maybe this is a chance for Dane Evans to go a little bit, you know, further in the province to Ottawa and reunite with Jeremiah Masoli there. What does that do for Nick Arbuckle? I was just writing it down as I got ready to talk to you. Maybe Dane Evans does go to Ottawa. Does Nick Arbuckle wind up back in Calgary? We still have questions about Vernon Adams. He's obviously not going to be the starter if Nathan Rourke is still in BC. We mentioned Cody Fajardo. I can't remember this many good options for teams to potentially look at in a CFL offseason.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a decade ago in the CFL, it seemed like there was quarterbacks that hung around forever with certain teams. And now it seems like, you know, we're getting to this big quarterback shuffle every offseason, where guys are going to go, where they line up, where they have the best fit. And, yeah, I would imagine that Dane Evans won't be back. He's making well over $400,000 this year. I would imagine they're going to ask him to take a big pay cut if they bring Bo in, or they're going to try to trade him or release him, and he's going to end up somewhere else. You know, I would expect, you know, Cody Fajardo to end up on another team. Maybe he ends up in BC. Maybe he ends up somewhere else as well. And, yeah, I do think that seems like a match made in heaven here. Lines up great for the Calgary Stampeders because they want to go find another backup quarterback to hang out with Jake Mayer, who's got, you know, some experience, who maybe won't be too expensive. Well, in comes Nick Arbuckle, a guy that's played, you know, for the Stampeders in the past, knows the system well, and I'd imagine the Ottawa Redblacks will be looking to move on from him if they bring in any other quarterbacks to play there with Jeremiah Masoli in the offseason. So, you know, things always have a way of sorting themselves out. And with the Stampeders, it seems like they might be getting lucky in this situation that they find a guy that, you know, they couldn't afford to keep previously, comes back around. But, you know, it might end up being a great fit. And for, you know, for the Stampeders, they'd be excited to have that. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Nathan Rourke in the offseason as well. I do imagine he's going to get an NFL shot at some point.
So let's get to what's still left of the CFL season. Grey Cup week is officially on in Regina. We're getting set for the Blue Bombers and the Toronto Argonauts this weekend. Big win for both teams heading into it. I thought BC put up a good fight. I don't really know that I ever felt Winnipeg was in danger of losing that game yesterday, John. But how did you see the East and West finals go down from Winnipeg and from Toronto?
I was impressed with Toronto out the gate. They really started, you know, on fire, put up a lot of points quickly. You know, they have a great defensive line, and they can do a lot on offense as well. You know, they've got some great Canadian wide receivers there, like Curly Gittens, that's done a great job growing in his role this year. And, you know, they've got McLeod Bethel Thompson's been there for 5+ years now, and he's really grown to become one of the better quarterbacks in the CFL. And, you know, an old friend of Calgary, Corey Mace, has done a great job there with his team, you know, running the defense and having them play at an elite level. So I'm impressed with them, and I was impressed what they were able to do. I know that Montreal came back late and made a game of it, but sure seemed like Toronto had that taken care of for most of the game. And then, you know, what else can you say about the Winnipeg Blue Bombers? You know, ever since they came into Calgary in 2019 and won the playoff game here as a 3 seed, on the road, it seems like every team they've played since, almost, they've just been bullying the line of scrimmage on both sides. You know, offense, defense, they're bigger than you. They're going to impose their will. They ran the ball, you know, almost 30 times, you know, in the West Final and, you know, kept Nathan Rourke off the field, kept their defense rested. They elongated drives, extended drives, and, you know, they had big days on the ground. And, you know, they got two of the best DNs in the league with Willie Jefferson and Jackson Jeffcoat. They have maybe the best, you know, left tackle in CFL history in Stanley Bryant. And, you know, they got some other big old linemen that can move that are great as well. And, I mean, they just bully you at the line of scrimmage. So, you know, Caleros didn't have to do a whole lot. It wasn't moving around great at the end, I know. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what their quarterback situation looks like going in the Grey Cup. But you know, these are two great teams, and it'll be an interesting game to watch for sure.
How do you see this one going? Going to be an interesting one on Sunday. I think, obviously, the Bombers will be favored given their history and given the kind of team they bring in. But how do you see this one working out if Toronto does want to pull off an upset, John?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know if we're going to know Zach Claros's health status until, you know, an hour before the game, or, you know, I don't know what it's going to look like. He's going to be able to get out and practice. When I saw the play happen live, I thought it was either a high ankle sprain or a torn ACL. Neither of those things he could play this week. So we'll see what happens. Maybe it was just a bad sprain or he, you know, got nicked up. But, yeah, we'll have to see how it plays out. But I would expect the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, if you want betting odds, things like that, are probably going to be heavily favored by, you know, 5-6 points. And I would expect that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are going to do what they've done, you know, over the last few years to a lot of teams in the CFL and just, you know, impose their will at the line of scrimmage, run the football, do all the different things they need to do there, and then, you know, cause havoc rushing four down linemen and, you know, rushing four and getting to the quarterback consistently. And they've done that about as good as any team in the CFL I've seen over the last few years.
Funny how it works out for Andrew Harris as he goes to Toronto, has a good start, gets hurt for most of the season, and now faces off against his former team and tries to get in the way of their, you know, battle to get to the three-peat. John, it's always interesting how those storylines work out. I imagine we'll see a pretty motivated Andrew Harris on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's had a very impressive career. You don't see a lot of running backs play past 30, and they showed a stat on the broadcast the other day where his, you know, after age 30 stats are very similar to his before age 30 stats. And, that, you know, that's incredible. He's had a great career. You know, he did a lot of great things in Winnipeg. He was the most outstanding Canadian at the Grey Cup. You know, won the Grey Cup here in Calgary back in when it was here in 2018 or 2019, I believe. And, yeah, just, you know, had a, you know, great career. If it was an opportunity for him to come back to the Blue Bombers, I mean, we've seen this play out in Calgary before, too. This is, you know, the Bo Levi Mitchell situation, maybe next year playing out live in front of us right now, where one of the star players goes to another team, and then you end up playing them in the playoffs, and it's going to be a challenge for your team to slow them down.
Give me the prediction, John. I know we got to let you go in a couple moments here, but how do you see this working out on Sunday? Give me your prediction. Bombers, do they get the three-peat, or does Toronto upset them in Regina?
I would assume the Bombers are going to get the three-peat here, and I would expect them to win by, you know, at least a touchdown. And, you know, we're going to see a lot of running the football. We're going to see a lot of, you know, we're going to see a lot of great play on both sides of the ball, and I'm excited for the game. It should be great.
John, always appreciate the time, pal. Take care. We'll chat with you a little bit later, and we'll chat some NFL and NCAA football with you as the winter continues. Take it easy, pal.
All right, awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Always appreciate the time. That's John Bender, former CFL alumni with the Calgary Stampeders, former Nevada Wolfpack, too, playing some NCAA Division I football. Very glad to have him down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Remember that you can visit the 14-time Consumer Choice Award winner for takeout or delivery by calling 403-248-3344 or dining in at Atlas Pizza, 6060 Memorial Drive, Northeast. Quick reminder, in case you've missed it, it is an early Flames game tonight, early start, 6:30 puck drop against the LA Kings, not your traditional 7 o'clock puck drop here in Calgary, 6:30. So if you're leaving work, you need some time to get down to the Saddle Dome, make sure you give yourself a little bit of extra time, 6:30 puck drop. Lou, Peter Labardius, Derek Wills will have the call. Lou is going to be with Pat at 5:30 for Flames warm-up. Flames talk warm-up going at 5:30. Pat will take you with that 4 o'clock for your shortened edition of Flames Talk on this Monday. Couple of notes for the Flames lineup heading into tonight. Jonathan Huberdeau is back in the lineup. He will skate on a third line, quote-unquote, third line if you believe in numbering them. Backlund and Lewis will be on his line. Kevin Rooney expected to be a scratch tonight. Also expected to see Connor Mackey out of the lineup. Nick DeSimone will take his spot on a pairing with Nikita Zadorov. Jacob Markstrom, your projected starter. Fan feedback line 960-960. It's always open to you. Chatted some Calgary Flames with Peter Labardius to kick off the program. Got lots of texts on that. We've got a little bit on this Bo Levi Mitchell to Hamilton conversation that we just had with John. This is an interesting one for me. I think that this is as good of a landing spot for Bo as it could be. I know there's a lot of Rough Riders fans in Calgary, and there'll be a lot of them listening to this. I don't think Sask was ever the spot for him. You're talking about a new offensive coordinator coming in here after Jason Moss was let go, and deservedly so. But that offensive line is a nightmare, and I think Bo will be the first one to tell you that, you know, he's never been the most agile quarterback. It's not a, that's not a knock on the guy. That's just the truth. Seeing what Cody Fajardo, who in my mind is the much more athletic quarterback than Bo, had trouble dealing with that. I don't think that Bo at 32 was looking at Sask and saying that was the spot. Now, there's lots of great things about Saskatchewan, the fan base, the stadium, all of that, but and they've got some great receiver weapons, but until that O-line is figured out, I'm just not sure that was ever a great spot. And for the Stampeders, move him out to Hamilton. You'll still see him a couple times a year. But it won't be the narrative of a season series as it would be if he was in Edmonton or if he was in Saskatchewan. And I actually like what the Ticats are doing. I think Orlando Steinauer is a great head coach. I think they've got some weapons there. They've got a good O-line. I think that's a place that Bo could land on his feet. Whether that turns out to be like that, I really don't know. It'll be a big change for him. He's only ever known Calgary. But he's one of the greats in the game, and I think he's going to be as motivated as he's ever been in his career to prove CFL fans, to prove Calgary fans, Calgary, and you know, John Hofnagel and Dave Dickinson, that they were wrong to move on from him. We'll see. That's official now. Both sides have confirmed that Dave Naylor report from earlier. Bo Levi Mitchell traded to the Hamilton Tiger Cats, and Dan and Cochran texted this in on the fan feedback line at 960-960, saying, what exactly does future considerations mean? Do the Stamps get another piece later to fulfill this? Do the Ticats just give them goodwill in another trade later on, or does it likely mean squat? That's a tough one, Dan, because future considerations can mean all of those things that you just said. That's really more between Calgary and John Huffnagel and Hamilton than anybody. Because it could mean all of those things. It could mean that, hey, there's a practice roster guy that we liked. There's a negotiation list guy that we want to fulfill later on. We just don't have that name right now. And we'll talk about it in the future. You could say, if you're the Stampeders, right, just sort of hold that in your back pocket and say, hey, you kind of owe us from the bow trade a little bit earlier on. Let's make this happen. A lot of times it does mean nothing. I think a lot of times it's just good to say that. It can also mean some sort of financial compensation, too, that they're not willing to discuss publicly. I don't know that that's the case in this trade, but yeah, to your point, Dan, it could be any of those things. So I know it can be frustrating from a fan perspective to hear future considerations. So what does that mean? Do we actually get a tangible piece back for this? Is it a draft pick in the future? Impossible to say now. It could be a case where one of those happens and the team's announced, so this was the future considerations from the Bo Levi Mitchell trade. It happens a lot in baseball. They'll give teams a couple of weeks and say you can pick between this guy, this guy, this guy, and that's your future consideration. It means a little bit different for everybody else in other sports. This text came in. Shout out to Peter Labardius, who once again devoted 5 days to bringing the U15 AAA Rocky Mountain Classic to life for the kids by doing his calls on HN Live. He is the best. It was a fantastic tournament. He does everything first class. Yes, Lou is one of the best. And I'm sure Lou enjoyed himself just as much as the kids did getting to hear him on the call. And this text says, Dubé is supposedly in a funk offensively, potentially Coleman as well, but Lucic gets 2 minutes, gets line 2 minutes and power play 2 minutes. Something's wrong with this. The coach places favor, and once again, it's a terrible message to the young players. I don't know. I actually think Lucic has been pretty good lately. Power play Lucic is an interesting one for me. The net front thing, I don't know that it's as valuable as some would. I would rather have somebody that can fire home a rebound in that spot. But I actually think, and I think what the biggest thing for me about that text is, I think Mangiapane plays a bigger game when he's got Lucic on his wing. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just a confidence thing. They play well off each other. And I mean, Dubé's still a young kid. I don't have a problem with Dubé having to work his way back up into that spot. He sort of got that second line spot earlier in the year by default because nobody stepped up, but the production hasn't matched with Dubé yet. So we'll see. It's another round of new lines. We'll see what it looks like tonight. Obviously, Jonathan Huberdeau with Backlund and Lewis is going to be the main focus for a lot of people heading into tonight's matchup. Thank you for listening. Always appreciate your fan feedback on the text line at 960-960. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Hockey PDOcast with Dmitry Filipovich is next. Enjoy Flames Talk with Pat at 4, and we will join you for Flames Intermission. Flames and Kings, 6:30 tonight, right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.